There's nothing better than meeting with God daily in His presence, reading His Word, sharing our praises with Him and our requests. And that's what the Psalms of Ascent are all about. The Psalms of Ascent lead us on that upward trail to grow closer to God and closer to the heart of God. If you'll take your Bibles and open with me to Psalm 128, our message series is called Stepping Stones to God's Heart. And together we are studying these 15 Psalms of Ascent. And we've seen that these 15 Psalms, you can break them into five groups of three. And that each of those groups of three Psalms follow a similar pattern. We have a Psalm of Trouble, which is followed by a Psalm of Trust, which is followed by a Psalm of Triumph. And today's Psalm, the one we're looking at today, is the last Psalm in the middle group of three. And so this makes it one of the Psalms of Triumph. Psalm 128 is also what we call a wisdom psalm. It's a psalm that imparts wisdom to the reader through short phrases and vivid imagery. It's important to remember with any of the wisdom literature in the Bible, whether the book of Proverbs or the wisdom psalms or other sections, the wisdom passages in the Bible present wisdom to us rather than absolute promises. In other words, they give us wisdom. This is how God would have us to live, and this is how God will respond to you. Last week, we looked at Psalm 127. That was another wisdom psalm. And there's a reason that Psalm 128 follows 127. It's not just because they're numbered that way. The numbers came later, right? But Psalm 128 builds off of Psalm 127. Remember that these Psalms of Ascent not only trace our ascent to God's heart, but they're also called the Psalms of Ascent because they build off of each other. And common themes are reintroduced in later psalms, and then those themes are advanced. And that's what we see happening here in Psalm 128. Psalm 128 is a wisdom psalm about the blessings that God gives to those who fear the Lord. So please stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you take the words of the psalm now, the wisdom that's contained, the instruction. Lord, help us to take this psalm deep into our hearts, to eat your words, so to speak, that they might become a part of our life, that we might draw ever closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Everyone wants to be happy, but few are willing to follow God's way to get there. This world thinks that being a Christian takes away your joy, and they couldn't be more wrong. The greatest joys in life come from knowing God and living under His blessing. And that, in a nutshell, is what our psalm this morning is all about. We mentioned that this psalm builds off of Psalm 127, which comes right before it in the Psalms of Ascent. And these two psalms, really, they work together as a pair. They discuss similar themes, but they approach it from a different angle. For example, Psalm 127 speaks about the city and the home, where Psalm 128 focuses just on the home and the family. This is important because the family is the foundation for everything else in society. And if we do not know God's blessing in our homes, we will not know God's blessing elsewhere. But there's another difference in approach as well. Psalm 127 is a psalm of trust that focuses on receiving God's blessing as a gift. Psalm 128 is a psalm of triumph that focuses on gaining God's blessing as a reward. So Psalm 127 is all about God and His gifts to us. Psalm 128 is all about our attitudes and our actions towards God and how that works together when it comes to God's blessing. Psalm 128 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord. And then it uses the picture of an ideal family to teach us about that blessing. Now, when we talk about the ideal family in Psalm 128, this is similar to what we find in Psalm 1, the ideal man, or the ideal wife that we find in Proverbs 31, or the ideal love, which is described for us in 1 Corinthians 13. And we sometimes read those passages, the ideal passages, and we're tempted to say, get real. That's not the way real life is. And it may not be the way life is, but these passages do tell us the way that life can be and the way life is supposed to be. In other words, these passages of the ideal man, the ideal wife, the ideal family, and ideal love, they are not meant to discourage us. Rather, they are meant to encourage us and to inspire us to greater possibilities. And so Psalm 128 paints the picture of a happy home, and it presents the home as the center of God's blessing. Because really, when it comes right down to it, who doesn't want a happy home? And happy and God-fearing homes, these are an essential part of building God's kingdom here on earth. So let's get into the psalm now. Psalm 128 breaks into two main parts. The first part is a statement of blessing, and then the second part is a prayer of blessing. There's an outline in your bulletin which outlines these points for you, and the scriptures we'll be looking at if you'd like to take that out, either to take notes or just to follow along. So let's take a look at the statement of blessing first. This is in verses 1 through 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. So the psalmist begins by stating really the whole theme of the psalm, blessed are all who fear the Lord. Now, to fear the Lord does not mean to be afraid of God so that you run away from him. Rather, to fear the Lord means to be in awe of God's majesty so that you approach him, but you approach him with great reverence and respect. To fear the Lord means that you take God seriously and that you put God first in your life. Then after stating this theme, you know, blessed are all who fear the Lord, the psalmist then further defines the theme. And he tells us that those who fear the Lord are those who walk in God's ways. In other words, a right attitude towards God leads to right actions in your life. The attitude fearing the Lord leads to the right actions walking in God's ways. Jesus said something very similar in John 14:21. He said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, who is he? He is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Our attitude towards God in Christ, love for God, fear for God, respect for God, our attitudes influence our actions. Walking in God's ways, obeying Christ's commands. God has laid out his ways for us in his word. And if you want to understand the way life works, how does it all work? What do you need to do? Read the instructions, right? Read the instructions. God has laid it all out for you in his word. Richard Phillips calls this the center and the circumference. And I like this. He says, first put God at the center of your life. That's the fear of the Lord. God first, God at the center. Put God at the center of your life, and then let God's law mark the circumference of your life. Let the word of God mark the limits of what you will and will not do. And if you do that, if you will put God at the center of your life, and if you will make his law the circumference of your life, you know what happens? Then God takes care of everything else in between. It's a beautiful thing. You will be blessed by God in all that you do. Now, the word blessed here is a word that simply means happy. In the original Hebrew, it's actually in the plural, so you could even translate it, happy, 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 happy is the one who fears the Lord. True happiness, real happiness in life is found only in those who fear God and walk in his ways. As Charles Spurgeon says, we must reverence, there's that word for fear of the Lord, right? We must reverence the ever-blessed God before we can be blessed ourselves. Now, this blessing from God is not for everyone in the world. Did you see that? It's not for everyone, but only for a certain subset of people. Those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. However, even though God's blessing is not for everyone, it is for everyone within that subset. Because it says, blessed are all who fear the Lord. There are no exceptions here. If you will fear God in your life, if you will walk in his ways, you will be blessed. Now, the psalm is going to go on. It's going to give us an example. It's going to give us the example of a father and a husband in the following verses. But we learn right away, right here in verse 1, up front, that this psalm applies to all of us, all who fear the Lord. Whether you are male or female, married or single, with or without children, know this blessed truth, that blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Now, this is a truth in Scripture that we find in other places confirmed for us. And in fact, if we turn to two other of the wisdom psalms in Scripture, Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, their opening verses say something very similar. Psalm 1 begins, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Or the opening verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. So blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. This is the only foundation upon which you may build a life that is blessed by God. And then the psalm goes on to give and to share some specific examples of the ways that God blesses you as you fear him, as you walk in his ways. First of all, God will bless your work. We see this in verse 2. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, that verse does not necessarily mean that you're going to become wealthy or rich, that you'll have more money than you know what to do with. What it does tell you this is this: you will find fulfillment in your work. And God will make sure that through your work will provide for your needs. God's promise to bless your work is especially striking when you remember that God did what back in Genesis 3? God put a curse on human work and labor after Adam and Eve sinned back in Genesis. Too often in life, we work hard, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere. Have you ever felt that way? You're working so hard and you just still can't seem to get ahead. You've got to ask yourself the question, is it because we are not fearing God and walking in his ways? It's something that we must consider. The prophet Haggai in the Old Testament warned the Jews who'd returned to Jerusalem. He told them, he said, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but have harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. What was happening? They were working hard, but they weren't getting anywhere. It's the very opposite of the blessing that God promises and that he offers to those who fear him and who walk in his ways. See, God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your work. That was his plan from the start. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is before sin entered the world. This is before Adam and Eve fell into sin. They worked the garden and they knew God's blessing on their work. It was good work with good rewards. But as we learned last week in Psalm 127, remember these two psalms work together? Without God, work becomes what? It becomes toil. And you will not find true blessing or satisfaction in your work apart from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says this, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. But this too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? So first of all, God will bless your work. Secondly, he will bless your marriage. Look at verse 3 now. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. And this verse speaks of both fruitfulness and faithfulness. fruitfulness and faithfulness. The fact that it's a vine is a picture of fruitfulness. If you remember, God's initial blessing on Adam and Eve when he created them was a blessing for fruitfulness. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." See, God's blessing is always related to productivity and fruitfulness. And this doesn't just mean the bearing of children, but it means having a fruitful and productive life. And so this first picture is of a beautiful vine that is thriving, flourishing, fruitful, and productive. And then there is faithfulness. The fact that the vine is within the house speaks of faithfulness. It has nothing to do with a woman's places in her home. I know you've all heard that, and most of you hate that, right? But it's not talking about that. It's talking about faithfulness. You see, this is in contrast to the adulterous wife who's described for us in Proverbs chapter 7. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. What's the sign of a happy marriage? Fruitfulness, faithfulness. Who could ask for anything more? Marriage is one of God's great blessings in life. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." You can also turn that verse around and put it this way. She who finds a husband also finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. You see, marriage is a blessing from God, but God also wants to bless your marriage. And husbands and wives, listen to me close here now. How you live your life has a huge impact on whether you will know God's blessing in your marriage. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. So God will bless your work. God will bless your marriage. And then thirdly, God will bless your family. Back to verse 3 again, the second part. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, once again, this imagery is strange to us. We don't live in biblical times. We don't live in Israel. But the olive tree, that's a basic part of the agriculture in Israel. In the Bible, it's also another picture of productivity and flourishing and blessing. For example, we read in Isaiah 52, verse 8, "But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." And the image here of the olive shoots all around the table, well, that's the picture of a mature, established olive tree. And all around in the soil, you have young shoots sprouting up around it. Would have been a very common sight in Israel. And the olive shoots here represent youth and energy. And above all, promise. Do you ever think about that? When you sit down to eat with your family, your children are the hope and promise of the future sitting around your table. Psalm 144, verse 12, offers a similar image when it says, "Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants. Our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace." Another thing about the olive tree is a very slow-growing tree. You know, you plant in the ground, you get those olive shoots, you know, sprouting up. It's going to be another 10 or 15 years before you see any olives on that tree. It takes time. But once that tree is established, the olive tree needs very little maintenance, very little supervision, and it will provide olives and fruit for years, for decades to come. And parents, it's the same way with your children. It takes time before they grow to independence and maturity. And so as parents, what do we need? We need patience, and a lot of it, right? It takes patience, patience with our children as we raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord. But know this, that all of that discipline, all of that training will pay off. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." I also like the fact that Psalm 128 uses the image of the table for the family, right? The olive shoots around the table. The family table or mealtime is especially important for us as families. It's where the family gathers together and shares about their day, where stories and experiences and values are passed on. And it seems in our day and time, in our culture, it's getting harder and harder for families to get together, even just for a few meals a week. So I would encourage you, no matter what the age of your children, no matter what the makeup of your home, even if it's just you and your spouse at home, Carve out the time in your schedules and make family mealtime a priority in your home. And so this first section of Psalm 128, once again, it paints us a beautiful picture for us. The godly husband, the faithful wife, eager children full of promise. All of this is a sign of God's blessing in the home. And once again, what more can you ask than God's blessing on you and those you love? Notice also that this first section of the psalm highlights God's blessings in what three areas? On your work, your marriage, and your family. All three of these were God's provision for us in creation. All three of these were also the areas that God cursed following our fall into sin. Cursed our work, a curse upon the husband-wife relationship, upon the bearing of children. But what do we hear and see here in Psalm 128 now? We see God reverse the curse. And now God brings blessing in all three of these areas when you fear the Lord and walk in his ways. These verses do not mean that God grants marriage and family to all, but rather this is one of the ways he blesses the godly. As Samuel Cox says, make God your home, and he will make your home a happy home. Psalm 128, verse 4 says, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. So that's the first part of the psalm, a statement of blessing for those who fear the Lord. Now we move to the second part, which is a prayer of blessing for those who fear the Lord. Take a look now at verses 5 and 6 with me. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You see, the first part of Psalm 128 presents God's blessing as his reward for those who fear him. So that's the first part of the psalm, God's reward for those who fear him. But this second part reminds us that God's blessing is not automatic. You do not earn God's blessing from your obedience. Even God's rewards are all gifts of God's grace. And so God's blessing must be received as a gift from God. And how do we receive things? By asking for them in prayer. So there are three parts to this prayer of blessing. First of all, number one, may God bless you all the days of your life. We see this in verse 5. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. So this is a prayer of blessing, not just for a time, not just for a season, but for the duration of your life, in the good times and the hard times, in times of plenty and in times of difficulty. It picks up the language of Psalm 23, which says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is the source of all blessing, and this prayer is a reminder that every blessing you have comes from God. Notice the psalmist asks for the Lord to bless you from Zion. From Zion. Once again, we've seen that Zion is an important theme in these psalms of ascent. Zion is where Jerusalem was. Jerusalem is where the pilgrims were going for these annual feasts. They were singing the psalms of ascent as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Zion is the place where God dwells. It is the place where God meets with his people. And blessing in your life comes when? As you meet daily with the Lord in his presence. Psalm 48, verse 1 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, that's Jerusalem, his holy mountain, that is Mount Zion. It was a blessing for the Jews on these annual feasts. They were in Zion and to receive God's blessing there. But what does Psalm 128 ask? It's talking about after they leave Jerusalem. May God bless you from Zion all the days of your life. It's a peek ahead to the last psalm of triumph in the Psalms of Ascent, the very last psalm in the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 134, the very last verse in the Psalms of Ascent, verse 3, may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. It's the same thing. And so for God to bless you from Zion means that God's blessing extends to you wherever you go. And this is fulfilled for us today in the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And so God the Father and Jesus, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are with you at all times, wherever you go. So that's the first part of this prayer. May God bless you all the days of your life, wherever you go. And then secondly, may God bless you within the community of his people. And we see this in the second part of verse 5. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. God is not only concerned with us as individuals, but he is concerned for all his people. And if God is concerned for his people, so should we. One of the greatest blessings for you as a believer is to see all of God's people prosper. The church is bigger than you, and God's blessing on the church is your personal blessing as well. And this part of the prayer looks back in the Psalms of Ascent. Remember, we saw the first part looked ahead to Psalm 134, the last psalm. Well, this one looks back to Psalm 122. That psalm that we looked on a number of weeks ago, focusing on the gathering of God's people. Verses 6 through 9 in Psalm 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And we said then, that's a prayer not only for Israel and Jerusalem. We need to be praying for that, but it's also a prayer for all of God's people. It's a prayer for the well-being of God's church and for God's church to prosper. Psalm 122, that was the very first of all of the Psalms in triumph in the Psalms of Ascent. Now we're in Psalm 128 today, which is this one. This is the middle Psalm of triumph in the Psalms of Ascent. And then Psalm 134, the other psalm that was referenced, is the very last of the Psalms of triumph in the Psalms of Ascent. You see how these psalms all work together? Here we are at the middle Psalm of Triumph, and it looks back to the first Psalm of Triumph in Psalm 122. It looks forward to the last Psalm of Triumph in Psalm 134. May God bless you all the days of your life. May God bless you within the community of his people. And then the third part of this prayer, may God bless you with a long and fulfilling life. Verse 6 says, and may you live to see your children's children. It's interesting, in the fifth commandment, God promised a long life and a good life to those who honor their mother and father. Now, we see here in Psalm 128, the blessings of the fifth commandment are applied to all those who fear the Lord. And so these prayers of blessing for those who fear the Lord, they not only stretch outward to the community of God's people, as you pray for the prosperity of Jerusalem, but they also extend onward to future generations. Your children's children. Verse 6 is a prayer both for long life and the continuation of your family. And this is part of God's blessing or reward for those who fear him. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are a crown to the aged. Now, Rosie and I aren't quite there yet. We're looking forward to that day. But many of you already know the blessings of having grandchildren. And what Psalm 128 is doing here is reminding you that they are God's blessing on your life. So make sure when you talk to other people about your grandkids, don't just tell them, I love my grandchildren. But also be sure to testify and say, I thank God he has blessed me with my grandchildren. I thank God that he has blessed me with length of life to know and see and love my children's children. And then also make sure that you pass on your faith to your children and grandchildren. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1-5, he said, Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. See how that works? It started off in his grandmother, began Lois, and Lois passed it on to Eunice, and then Eunice passed it on to her son Timothy. What a rich blessing, what an inheritance you leave for your children and grandchildren when you live a godly life in fear of the Lord. What a blessing to be able to pass on a godly heritage to your children's children. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. And so we find this just this beautiful prayer of blessing here in the second part of Psalm 128. It's a prayer of blessing for all those who fear the Lord. May God bless you all the days of your life. May God bless you within the community of his people. May God bless you with a long and fulfilling life. May you live to see your children's children. Then there's one little other part still left in the psalm, right at the end. Did you notice that? A prayer for the peace of Israel, verse 6. Peace be upon Israel. Do you notice the progression of the psalm? It moves from the individual in verses 1 and 2 to the family in verses 3 and 4 to the wider community in verses 5 and 6. Once again, we are to be concerned for all God's people, not just for our own families, not just for ourselves. This is the third prayer for the peace of Israel that we've seen so far in the Psalms of Ascent. As we mentioned earlier in the series, it's every third psalm. Each one of these Psalms of Triumph ends with an expression of peace or blessing for Israel. Psalm 128 is a beautiful psalm. It speaks about God's blessing on all those who fear the Lord, and it describes this blessing in terms of the ideal family. Now, you might be wondering this morning, you might be saying, well, that's all well and good, but what if I don't have an ideal family? Well, first of all, welcome to the club, okay? But secondly, in holding up the ideal family, the psalm points us beyond our broken, sinful families here on earth. It points us beyond that to the beauty and perfection of God's family in heaven. None of us have a perfect family here on earth, but we will experience God's blessing on our families as we fear God and walk in His ways. And one day we will all experience the blessing of the ideal family in heaven. God may or may not bless you with marriage or children in this life. But either way, the promise of this psalm remains. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. And God has promised to bless all those who fear Him and walk in His ways. When you long for the same things that God longs for, you will see those desires fulfilled. You will be blessed. Psalm 128 teaches us that there is a direct relationship between your attitudes, your actions, and God's blessing in your life. God's blessing is available to everyone. You can choose either to welcome God's blessing in your life or you can chase it away. But it all comes down to fearing the Lord and walking in His ways. Psalm 128 teaches us that how you choose to live your life matters. It matters both for you and for so many other people in your life. There's a ripple effect in each of our lives, it flows outward. And your attitudes and actions towards God have an impact not only on your personal life, but on your family, on your community, and even your future generations. Psalm 128 teaches us that the influence of a godly person is great, and that God's blessing will flow out from you to your family, to your church, to the whole people of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ became a curse for us so that we might receive the blessing of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took the penalty that was due us. He took the curse of God upon sin, upon His own flesh. He paid it in full so that we could come to know God's blessing. And so my final word to you this morning is a very simple one. Don't miss out on God's blessing for you. Don't miss out on God's blessing. Fear God and walk in His ways that you may know the fullness of God's blessing in your life. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for this beautiful psalm. Lord, we all fall short of the ideal that is laid out for us here. But Lord, we know that's because we fall short of Your glory. We don't always reverence You. In our lives, we don't always take You seriously. We don't always walk in the path that You've laid out for us. We've spent too much time stepping aside from the path and sinking in the quicksand. Lord, we thank You that in Your grace You lift us out of the miry pit and You lift us up and You place our feet on the rock. You give us a solid foundation. And Lord, we thank You that in Your grace, it is never too late to start over again. You are always there waiting for us. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your blessing on our life. And Lord, I pray that we will do the things that You've laid out for us. That we would have reverence and respect for You in all that we do. That we would walk in the paths that You've given us. That we may know Your blessing in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.